Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, February 15, 2021. This is Air Force veteran David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. We've got a great show for you tonight with information on a number of topics, including a segment on the VA Voluntary Services Program, as well as a segment on 14 benefits associated with the 100% disability rating. And then after that, a couple segments with lots of other news and information of interest to veterans, their families, and friends. Before getting rolling, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, David. I'm doing all right. Hope everybody's having a nice President's Day. Maybe you got the day off today and had a chance to relax after Valentine's Day. What a big weekend everybody had. So I hope everybody was able to enjoy it and take some time to be with family and friends. That's the most important thing. We do have a great show tonight. I'm particularly interested in the those 14 different items that we're going to discuss regarding veterans who are service-connected for 100% VA disability compensation. I often get that question, you know, once they get to 100%, what does this mean? What happens next? And there's all sorts of stuff. So we're going to dive into that tonight. But I want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show. That number is 1-888-627-6008. And we do welcome your calls, and we'd like to hear from you. You know, some of you veterans who are 100%, you know, give a call in. This is an opportunity to tell other veterans what you're receiving in addition to 100% disability compensation. What else are you getting? Maybe you live in the state of Florida, and Florida is so friendly toward our veterans. So maybe you're receiving all sorts of benefits from the state. So please give us a call. We want to hear from you. All right. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. And let's go back to David, who will bring in our first audio tape regarding the volunteer services. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Richard. In the first segment about the VA voluntary service, this is courtesy of the Gulf Coast Veterans Healthcare System, its public affairs and medical media section. With special thanks to Mr. Vernon Stewart and Mr. Robert Davis, a voluntary services officer. The VA voluntary service is one of the largest centralized volunteer programs in the federal government. It was founded in 1946 to provide for our nation's veterans while they were cared for by the VA healthcare facilities. More than 7,400 national and community programs support this program. Volunteers have provided over 760 million hours of service and nearly $1.9 billion in gifts and donations. In this segment, we will hear from Mr. Vernon Stewart and Mr. Robert Davis as they discuss all the programs provided by the VA's voluntary service. So, Doug, if you'll please roll the first tape.
Hello, and welcome to Gulf Coast VA Today, an informational show about what's happening in the Gulf Coast Veterans Healthcare System. Each month, we cover news, services, and programs in our healthcare system relevant to you, the veteran. I'm your host, Vernon Stewart, Chief of Community and Public Affairs and Marine Corps veteran. Today, I have with me Mr. Robert Davis, Voluntary Services Officer. Mr. Bob Davis served 27 years in the United States Navy. How you doing, Mr. Davis? Go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Yes, I've been here at VA for about 18 years. I enjoy my job here in voluntary services. Love working with the volunteers. I served over 27 years in the United States Navy. Served as a dental technician, from a dental technician to an intel specialist, and from an intel specialist to a supply corps officer.
Wow, that's a very expansive career. And thank you for all of your federal service up to this point. So,
thank
Mr.
you.
Davis, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what exactly is voluntary services.
Well, VA Voluntary Services is one of the largest centralized volunteer programs in the federal government. It was founded in 1946 to provide for our nation's veterans while they are being cared for at VA facilities. More than 7,400 national and community organizations support the program. Volunteers have provided over 760 million hours of service and nearly $1.9 billion in gifts and donations. Nationwide in fiscal year 2020, volunteers contributed more than 4.4 million hours of service to our veterans. Donors contributed more than $109 million in gifts and donations. So each year, community volunteers give selflessly of themselves and resources in order to serve America's veterans. It's impossible to calculate the amount of caring and sharing that these VAVS volunteers provide to veteran patients. VAVS volunteers are a priceless asset to the nation's veterans and to the Department of Veteran Affairs. We love having our volunteers out here. They just do so much for us.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, Mr. Davis. I mean, especially in times like this, our volunteers and any donations we receive from the public are paramount. And we rely heavily on our community partners and volunteers during operations and especially in times like this. So let me ask you, how does one sign up to volunteer?
Well, if you would like to volunteer here at our Biloxi VA Medical Center or our Mobile Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, you can call myself at 228-523-5763, or you can call my assistant, Ms. Sharon Ladner, at 228-523-5786. Now, if you would like to volunteer at our Pensacola, Eglin, or Panama City Beach outpatient clinics, you can contact Mr. Michael Gray, and you can reach him at 850-912-2057. Now, we have two types of volunteers. We have regular scheduled volunteers and occasional volunteers. Our regular scheduled volunteers have volunteer assignments, which they perform on a regular basis. Our occasional volunteers come in when needed. They come in and assist our staff when we're having special events for our patients, such as Fall Carnival, National Salute for Veteran Patients, and also honoring our Veterans Car Show.
Nice, nice. So we also have additional volunteer assignments, correct, like the information desk and ambassadors. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we do have an ambassador program, and this is a great program. A lot of times when veterans come in, especially if it's their first time coming to the medical center, they don't know where their appointment location is. So our ambassadors actually escort the patient to the location where their appointment is located. So, you know, that provides a good service, and it makes the veterans feel at home, that someone would, instead of giving them directions, you know, turn in this hallway, go up this stair, you actually escort the patient to their appointments. We also have our VTN, which is our Veterans Transportation Network, and it provides for transportation for veterans seeking services from our VA clinics, are a facility which is authorized by VA. Now, this program is actually sponsored by a veteran service organization, the DAV, which is Disabled American Veterans. And their national organization also provides the vans, these nice, beautiful DAV vans that people see running around the city. And if you like to volunteer as a DAV van driver, two things. You must be insured, and you must have a valid driver's license. Other areas, we have clinical and administrative volunteer positions. They assist services with filing, calling patients to remind them of their appointments, and other administrative duty. We also have an information desk. where volunteers hand out pamphlets and provide information to patients. We have a recreation volunteer. They assist the recreation therapists with escorting our elderly patients to recreation activities. So those are just a few of the volunteer opportunities here at Gulf Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. Our ambassador program, I can speak very highly about that. It's a very needed facet of one of the things that you offer through your service, especially during a time like this. So with a lot of people wondering, I know I get a lot of questions about this specifically. With us in this current pandemic that we are in, with social distancing and masking and minimizing large groups, a lot of people may be thinking that we're not taking volunteers or we don't want volunteers on our site. What exactly are we doing? How have we adjusted to the pandemic in terms of our volunteers?
Well, at this time, we have a sort of restricted, but, you know, they won't be volunteering in the patient care areas. This is to protect the patients and to protect them. Also, we have positions where if they want to make phone calls, do callbacks. And so, do a phone appointment reminders and things of that nature. So, you know, we found ways to still utilize our volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. So the bottom line of that is basically we are still accepting volunteers. We may not be able to use them in the usual capacity as we have in the past, but of course we are still always looking for volunteers, and we will find assignments and duties for them if they so choose, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your staff. How big is your staff? I know you mentioned some of the different people we have at different locations. So tell us a little bit about your amazing staff.
Well, I have two amazing staff members. Ms. Sharon Latner, who is my assistant. She a voluntary service assistant. She works here at our Biloxi facility and handles the volunteers from the Mississippi Gulf Coast and the Mobile area. And then Mr. Michael Gray, he handles all of the volunteers from the Panhandle. Michael is a retired Navy Master Chief. So, he's a great leader. He does a great job, with the he's a volunteer service specialist and does a great job with actually running the program in the Panhandle.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about donations and how we accept donations, if we're still receiving donations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Of course. That's a very good question. I like that one. Yes, we are accepting donations. We accept both monetary and non-monetary donations. The monetary donation help fund different activities for our inpatients, such as luncheons and sporting events, bingos, and other special events. The non-monetary donations include toiletries, new clothing, comfort items, and non-perishable food items for our food pantry. We do have a nice food pantry, and we always need donations of non-perishable food items to support our veterans that might need that food.
Yeah, absolutely. Our donations from our community and from our veterans and their families go a long way. We graciously appreciate all the support that we receive throughout the community. We're always excited to receive those donations, and we try our best to be as thankful and highlight those individuals and organizations whenever we do receive a donation. So, Mr. Davis, I again want to thank you so much for joining us today on Gulf Coast VA Today and sharing all the ins and outs about voluntary services. It's a very important service and program within our Gulf Coast Veterans Healthcare System. And I cannot thank you, your staff, and all of our volunteers enough.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of Gulf Coast VA Today. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at VA Gulf Coast. And visit our website at www.biloxi.va.gov, where you can subscribe to our email list so you're always in the know. Be sure to also tune in for our next episode. But until then, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, Marines, family and friends, thank you for your service and support. Semper Fidelis.
Well, thanks to the VA's Gulf Coast Veterans Healthcare System, and specifically Vernon Stewart and Robert Davis for that very informative interview. Over to you, Rick.
Thanks, David. Next, we have Paul Corbett. He's a Marine Corps veteran, and he's going to explain and discuss the 14 valuable benefits that accompany a 100% service-connected disability rating from the VA. So, Doug, please roll tape number two, which is courtesy of the VA. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marine Corps veteran Paul Corbett, and if you are a veteran who has 100% VA service-connected disability, I am going to cover 14 different benefits that are available to you. I am also providing web links in the description below this video if you want to find additional information or how to apply for the benefits I will be covering. So at the top of the list is monetary compensation. A single veteran can expect to receive more than $3,000 a month, tax-free, and a little later in this video, I will explain how you may receive hundreds more in additional compensation for your dependents as well. Next is number two, free healthcare and medications. Please keep in mind that VA healthcare has a program for just about anything you could think of, from a full array of healthcare programs to assistance with education, employment, housing, medical equipment, assistance with nursing home care, respite care, adult daycare, medical foster homes, and the list goes on and on. Quite literally, no matter what situation you are in, if you need help with something, VA healthcare most likely has a program to assist you. And with being at 100% disability, it is all free. So if you are not enrolled in VA healthcare, I would highly recommend that you start the process as soon as possible. Number three is travel allowance. VA can reimburse you for mileage and other travel expenses for scheduled medical appointments at a VA facility or medical facility in which the VA referred you for care. For details on how to access this benefit, be sure to check out the web links below. Number four is dental care. That's right. VA has its own dental care program, and if the VA facility closest to you does not have a dental office, there is also the ability to use dental through the community care program. So be sure to contact your local VA healthcare facility to learn more. Number five is waivers for VA funding fees for home loans. When using a VA home loan, there is a funding fee that can range anywhere from 1% to 4%. However, given your rate of disability, that funding fee is completely waived. And again, additional information can be found below. Number six is employment assistance. At 100% disability, you qualify for a 10-point preference when applying for federal jobs. You also have the ability to be directly hired, meaning you don't need to compete with others. Whoever is doing the hiring can essentially hire you on the spot as long as you meet the qualifications for that position. There are also options if you are incapable of working for your spouse to use your point preference to secure a federal job. Pretty cool. Number seven is the Veteran Readiness and Employment Program, or it used to be called Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment. I've personally used this program and it is awesome. The program offers way more options, in my opinion, than the GI Bill, and it is also tailored to the unique needs of each and every veteran. However, unlike the GI Bill, not every veteran is going to automatically qualify. So be sure to reach out to VBA and see how they might be able to assist you with finding a new career path. Next is number eight, which is additional compensation for eligible dependents. VA recognizes the fact that some veterans may need additional monetary assistance when providing for their loved ones. As such, you may be able to add children, your spouse, or even your parents onto your VA disability. Depending on the number of qualified dependents you have, we could be talking about hundreds of additional tax-free dollars every month. So be sure to visit the web link below if you need additional information or instructions on how to apply. Number nine is concurrent receipt of military retired pay. Many people do not realize this, but many veterans do not get their full military retirement pay. There is an offset, which is designed to help veterans maximize the amount of income they receive. However, as a veteran with 100% disability, you do not have to worry about this. You will get your full military retirement and full VA compensation, which is a pretty sweet deal. Number 10 is educational assistance for your dependents. There are a bunch of guidelines, of course, but your dependents may be able to seek assistance from VA for college and graduate degree programs, certificate courses, career counseling, apprenticeships, and on-the-job training programs. There are scholarships they may qualify for as well. So be sure to check out the web links below to find out more. Next is number 11. For qualified families, the VA has a civilian health and medical program, also known as CHAMP VA. This means your dependents could also receive health care coverage through the Department of Veterans Affairs. There is way too much information about CHAMP VA for me to cover this in this video, so please be sure to refer to the links below for additional information. Next up is number 12, burial and plot allowance. There are a bunch of different scenarios that guide this benefit, such as whether a veteran died from a disability, passed away at home or in a VA facility, and so on. Nevertheless, VA can potentially help with the cost of procuring a plot and also with covering as much as $2,000 in burial expenses. To learn more or locate the forms you need for this benefit, please refer to the video description below. Our second to last benefit is the Uniformed Services ID card. That's right. Veterans with 100% disability are able to get an ID card similar to the one you may have had in the military, which will grant you certain access and privileges at DOD facilities. This is a pretty cool benefit, especially if you are a veteran who lives close to any of our military bases. The last and final benefit I will cover is access to adaptive housing and automobile grants. Remember when I said that VA healthcare can provide you with pretty much anything you could possibly need? Well, this is an example of that. Qualified veterans may be able to receive grants to make alterations to their homes, such as wheelchair ramps, widened doorways, making bathrooms more accessible, and the list goes on. The same can be said of a veteran's vehicle. So to learn more about this benefit, you can strike up a conversation with your primary care physician at the VA, or to learn more about this benefit and any of the others I've discussed, be sure to check out the links below. Lastly, to access all our content, there are links below, or you can search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube.
Thanks to the VA for that.
Yeah, I want to thank Paul for providing us with that information. You know, David,
I was going to mention, though, all the links that Paul Corbett mentioned are available. We will post the video on our show's website for the February 15, 2021 show, which should be available in a day or two.
Okay. In addition to those, David, you and I both know that, like in the state of Florida, if a veteran receives 100% disability compensation, he gets a nice booklet in the mail from the state, and it provides all sorts of additional benefits, financial benefits, such as reduce or elimination of your property tax. So, veterans, if you get to your 100%. Definitely, you got to keep looking, because that 100% is actually worth a lot more than the monthly payment that you're getting. Back to you, David. What do you think?
Yeah, every state, as you mentioned, every state has its own state Department of Veteran Affairs or similarly named agency, and that would be the point of contact to find out more about the additional state and even local benefits, whether it's tax benefits, whether it's, let's say, discounted or free access to state parks. I mean, there's just a variety of things, as well as access to some of the state-run veteran homes. There's a long list of things, even at the state level. But that overview that you just heard from Paul Corbett of the VA was discussing 14 major VA benefits. And as I say, the video that he was referring to, all the links, you can find that. It'll be posted on our show's website, bbsradio.com/theveteransnewshour. So we have lots of news in this next segment, so why don't you kick that off, Rick?
Here's some news. Sure. About the American Legion has many programs for veterans and its families. The American Legion announced on its website on January the 1st that children whose parents lost their lives while honorably serving on active duty or on or after 9/11, as well as children of post-9/11 veterans with a combined VA disability rating of 50% or higher, are eligible to apply for the American Legion Legacy Scholarship. Since the Legacy Scholarship's first grant in 2004, 401 military children of the fallen and disabled have received over $3.6 million in aid. The Legacy Scholarship provides financial aid for graduate or postgraduate tuition, books, room and board, meal plans, and other supplies needed to achieve a higher education. It is a needs-based scholarship. The grant amount each scholarship recipient will receive will be based on his or her financial need after all federal and state aid is exhausted. Recipients will have a year to use the grant and may reapply to the American Legion Legacy Scholarship up to 6 times. The number of scholarships awarded and the amount of financial aid granted to each awardee, this includes returning applicants, will be determined on donations to the scholarship fund and one's financial needs. Legacy Scholarship Awards are made possible from donations to the American Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund. The American Legion Legacy Scholarship application for 2021 is now online at legion.org/scholarships/legacy for eligible applicants to apply. The application deadline is April 15th. For additional information about the scholarship and eligibility requirements, please learn more at the website. legion.org/scholarships/legacy/about. The 2021 American Legion Legacy Scholarship recipients will be selected by the American Legion's Committee on Youth Education during the organization's annual spring meetings in May. All applicants, whether recipients of the Legacy Scholarship or not, will be notified immediately thereafter. Again, that is legion.org/scholarships/legacy. Back to you, David.
All right, and this next news item, this is of particular interest to veterans who may have been discharged from the service with a discharge characterization of something other than an honorable discharge. This is an important issue for those veterans because in some cases it can affect their eligibility for VA benefits. And the development is specifically dealing with the Army Discharge Review Board and some of its past practices. According to a January 12, 2021 article in Stars and Stripes, the Army will begin reviewing thousands of discharge records of veterans who were affected by military sexual trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other behavioral health conditions as a result of a class action lawsuit. This review is part of a settlement that was reached in the lawsuit known as Kennedy versus McCarthy, which was preliminarily approved December 28th, according to the Army. The service will look at discharges of veterans affected by post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, military sexual trauma, or other behavioral health conditions. Under the agreement, the Army will automatically reconsider certain discharge status upgrade decisions made by the Army Discharge Review Board between April 17, 2011, and the effective date of the settlement that partially or fully denied relief to Iraq and Afghanistan era veterans with less than fully honorable discharges. Veterans who were discharged and who did not receive an upgrade to honorable from the review board between October 7, 2001, and April 16, 2011, will also be able to reapply due to the settlement. This lawsuit was filed in April of 2017 in the United States District Court of Connecticut by the Army combat veterans Stephen Kennedy and Alicia Carson, both of whom suffered from PTSD and other health conditions, but were given a general discharge despite their medical issues. Their case was handled by the Veterans Legal Services Clinic at Yale Law School. Steve Kennedy served in the Army from 2006 to 2009, including a deployment to Iraq in 2007 and 2008. He returned home from the deployment with PTSD and major depression, but was not properly diagnosed or treated by the Army, according to court filings. Mr. Kennedy continued to lead his team to top performance marks, but began abusing alcohol, self-isolating, and self-injuring, which ultimately led to him going absent without leave for 2 weeks. His commander ordered a psychiatric evaluation. He was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, but not PTSD, despite his symptoms. Kennedy was then discharged due to his two-week absence, according to court filings. Now, Alicia Carson deployed to Afghanistan in 2010 and served with a Special Forces unit as a gunner, taking part in more than 100 missions. She was diagnosed with PTSD and a traumatic brain injury by DOD and VA doctors after returning from her deployment. Despite receiving a doctor's note to excuse her from National Guard drills, the Guard discharged her due to her absences, according to court filings. Now, their appeals to the review board to have their discharges upgraded to honorable were both denied. And now, due to the settlement, the Army, the National Guard, and Reserve veterans who received a discharge that was downgraded from honorable while having a diagnosis or showing symptoms of military sexual trauma, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, or other behavioral health conditions, might be eligible for relief. Upgrades to a discharge are not guaranteed and will be decided on a case-by-case basis. The Army has also agreed to change the procedures for how veterans apply to have their discharge status upgraded in the future and how the review board addresses those cases. Some of these changes include allowing veterans to appear by telephone to their review board hearings, more training for review board members, and updated protocols for decision-making in cases involving symptoms or diagnosis of PTSD, traumatic brain injury, military sexual trauma, or other behavioral health conditions. Now, this settlement, which I've described, is due for final approval by the court, and there will be a hearing on that issue on March the 24th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information on the settlement, veterans can go to the website. It's easy to remember. It's KennedySettlement.com. That's KennedySettlement.com. They can also, you can Google the website for the Army Discharge Review Board, and they will also have information about this for post-settlement. So this is really big news for veterans who have what are often referred to as bad paper, meaning something other than an honorable discharge, and have attempted to have that upgraded. Because the Discharge Review Board, as well as the Board for Correction of Military Records, they historically are really, really tough audiences. They're very tough. It's very tough to convince them to upgrade discharges, except in the most obvious cases. And it's great that the Veterans Legal Services Clinic at Yale Law School pretty much took this on as a class action to tackle this issue so that it enables thousands of veterans to benefit from this. So it's a great development. I look forward to further developments. Again, if you're interested in more on this issue, go to the website, KennedySettlement.com. Okay, over to you, Rick.
Thanks, David. In COVID-related news from the VA, the Department of Veteran Affairs announced in a January 29, 2021 press release that the VA is trying to help address economic hardships the veteran community faces during the ongoing pandemic. As part of those efforts, the VA will extend the existing moratorium on evictions and foreclosures until March 31, 2021. VA borrowers experiencing financial hardship due to COVID-19 can review VA guidance for borrowers on va.gov or call 877-827-3702 for additional information. The VA is also looking for immediate ways to help over 2 million veterans maintain their financial footing by exploring options to ease the burden of federal collections on compensation and pension overpayments and medical and educator-related debts. VA will provide updated information and guidance for veterans at va.gov on this effort as soon as possible. Back to you, David.
Okay, next we have some news about the VA Caregiver Support Program. As part of the VA's historic change to the Caregiver Support Program, the VA began the first phase of expanding its program on October the 1st, 2020, which extended the program to eligible veterans who incurred or aggravated a serious injury in the line of duty on or before May 7th, 1975. So basically we're talking about Vietnam-era veterans and earlier generations of veterans. Up until this change, the program was only for post-9/11 veterans and their caregivers. Now, there will be a second phase of the expansion, effective October 1st, 2022, so more than a year and a half away for that one. That expansion will expand the program to eligible veterans who incurred or aggravated a serious injury in the line of duty between May 7th, 1975 and September 11, 2001. In other words, the third remaining group. And what is this program? The Caregiver Support Program offers assistance to family caregivers of eligible veterans, including education and training, as well as a monthly stipend and other benefits. However, while it's on its face a well-intended program, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding it, and it's the subject of ongoing litigation. For those veterans and their families and caregivers interested in learning more about the program, I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our archived podcasts. Look on our website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. When our guest, Lauren Price, has been on our show several times. She truly is a national expert on this program. Listen to those archive shows, and she'll be back again on our program in the future. But to learn more about the Caregiver Support Program, you can contact your local facilities, medical facilities, VA Caregiver Support Coordinator, or call the Caregiver Support Line at, and here's the number, 1-855-260-3274. Again, the Caregiver Support Line is 1-855-260-3274. Their hours are 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. You can also go to the website caregiver.va.gov. That's caregiver.va.gov. And you'll see on that website that there's many layers to the program. Superficially, it looks like a great program, but you may find when you get into it and through the application process that it's not as user-friendly as one would hope. But like many things in life, it's a work in progress. So stay tuned and keep following what the VA is doing on that. All right, Rick, before I go over to you, I just want to summarize another big development in veteran news. And this is for Vietnam War veterans and their families. The National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021 added three new disabilities to the Agent Orange presumptive list for disability compensation under Title 38 U.S. Code Section 1116, subparagraph A2. And those three conditions new to the list are Parkinsonism, which is separate and apart from Parkinson's disease. The second one is bladder cancer, and the third is hypothyroidism. So stay tuned. We'll continue to update our listeners with more developments as the VA begins to implement these three additions. But if you're a Vietnam veteran or know one or a family member of a Vietnam veteran, it's a big development here with the addition of these three to the Agent Orange presumptive list. Rick, over to you. Any thoughts?
No, it's just it's nice after all these years to to see that the veterans are being recognized for those conditions. You know, it's what can you say? It's kind of like the Blue Water vets. They waited all these years for that presumption to apply to them. So we're moving forward. The only sad thing is how many veterans have died in the meantime. As many know, Agent Orange was a tactical herbicide used by the U.S. military for control of vegetation. It was named for the orange band around the storage barrel. The military sprayed Agent Orange and other tactical herbicides during the Vietnam War. Veterans who may have been exposed to Agent Orange include veterans who served in different locations, including Vietnam, and some ships off the coast of Vietnam, in the Korean demilitarized zone, on the Thai Air Force bases, at other locations, and who flew on or worked on C-123 aircrafts. The recent change in the law is the most recent expansion of the list of illnesses which the VA will presume was due to Agent Orange exposure. More information can be found on the VA website, va.gov. VA offers eligible veterans a free Agent Orange Registry health exam for possible long-term health problems related to exposure. VA also offers health care, disability compensation, and other benefits to eligible veterans for certain disease conditions, as well as benefits for children of Vietnam veterans who have spina bifida. Dependents and survivors may also be eligible for other benefits. Back to you, David.
And as mentioned before, the VA has already recognized certain cancers and other health problems as presumptive diseases associated with exposure to Agent Orange or other herbicides. And veterans and their survivors may be eligible for benefits if the veteran acquires any of these diseases. The list includes AL amyloidosis, chronic B-cell leukemias, chloracne or a similar acne form disease, which is a skin condition, diabetes mellitus type 2, Hodgkin's disease, ischemic heart disease, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's disease, peripheral neuropathy, early onset, which I would also add as a side note, peripheral neuropathy is, for some veterans, a secondary condition to type 2 diabetes. So even if they don't qualify under the early onset type of peripheral neuropathy, if they develop it secondary to type 2 diabetes, it's possible to also service connect that. Also, porphyria cutanea tarda, which is a disorder characterized by liver dysfunction, prostate cancer, respiratory cancers, and soft tissue sarcomas. So these are all some of the diseases and cancers that have been on the agent list, Agent Orange list, for a long time. And again, the recent development in the law is the addition of three more, which is Parkinsonism, bladder cancer, and hypothyroidism. So we'll see how, as the VA regulations are developed, how quickly the VA starts actually adjudicating these. But meanwhile, if you're a veteran or a survivor of a veteran who had any of these conditions, I suggest you talk to a VSO or an accredited lawyer or agent and look into filing, starting the process for filing a claim. Okay, Rick, over to you.
How you heard about a VA program called Solid Start. Under the VA Solid Start program, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs is personally calling every newly separated service member three times during their first year of separation. From help getting a home loan to health care to returning to work to mental health support, VA is here for you. It's your call. So if you are a veteran who recently left active duty, qualified VA representatives will be reaching out to help you better understand the benefits available to you and help you get a solid start on your civilian life. So be sure to take the call. The VA announced on December 2nd, 2020, the VA Solid Start Program celebrated its one-year anniversary. The Veteran Benefit Administration connected with nearly 70,000 newly separated service members. Annually, the program aims to proactively contact veterans three times during the first year of transition from military to civilian life at the 90, 180, and 360-day mark after separation. The department's efforts have been effective, said Secretary Robert Wilkie. Approximately 124,000 service members separated from the military in fiscal year 2020, and nearly 60% of those veterans called answered, resulting in VA connecting recently separated veterans to earn VA benefits, including helping veterans in crisis immediately connect with suicide prevention specialists. VA, in collaboration with the Department of Defense and Homeland Security, launched VA Solid Start December 2019 to improve transitioning service members' mental health care and access to suicide prevention resources in the year following discharge, separation, or retirement. The veteran has separated from the military in the past 90 days and has not been contacted by VA Solid Start. Call 1-800-827-1000 to reach a trained VA Solid Start representative. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. In other news, the VA has announced that it's partnering with the American Lung Association to help veterans diagnosed with lung disease and help them live healthier lives. This partnership will increase the veterans' access to information about lung disease and other resources. According to former Secretary Robert Wilkie, and we have a new VA secretary now this past week, but according to Secretary Wilkie, when he announced this collaboration, he said it will promote effective coping strategies designed to slow the progression of lung disease and offer support network to help veterans and their caregivers. VA researchers are dedicated to learning more about diseases that impact both veterans and humankind to help prevent, help with prevention and treatment. Now, the VA and the Lung Association will also join forces on training and educational opportunities for their healthcare professionals to share best practices for the delivery of healthcare services and treatments for veterans. In 2018, there were more than 36 million people in the United States living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, asthma, and other chronic lung diseases. A 2016 study by the VA found an increase in lung disease among veterans who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan. The VA and the Lung Association are working to develop state-of-the-art, evidence-based treatment for these diseases. And if you want to learn more, go to the website research.va.gov and do a search there for the topic respiratory diseases. This is also important, I would add as a side note, an issue we've talked about on many prior shows, which is the issue of the toxic effect of the open-air burn pits that were commonly used in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other overseas deployed areas, and the severe respiratory and other cancers and health issues by that. So that's another big ongoing issue that we're going to continue to follow in the future. Now, Rick, I know we're going to have our usual Coaching Into Care program reminder, but before getting into that, anything on your mind, any observations?
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the Agent Orange and the presumptive list. Well, I want to just remind veterans, because this is coming up in a BVA hearing that I have on Friday, and it's a situation where the veteran has many of the disabilities that are on that Agent Orange presumptive list. Unfortunately, he doesn't fall within. He didn't serve in Vietnam. And there are other issues with regard to whether or not he was exposed to contaminants. So in those situations, veterans, you got to realize just because you don't fall within the presumptive list doesn't mean that you don't have a viable claim. What has to happen is your attorney or your representative has to assist you in getting what we call a nexus letter from a medical professional who will put his John Hancock on an opinion that says, as a result of whatever exposure you did have and the medical condition that you now have, that exposure caused your medical condition. I don't want veterans to put their head down thinking that, you know, they don't have a viable claim in those situations. David and I have run across that on more than one occasion, and we were able, with the assistance of a medical professional, to get that nexus letter. So I think that's important just to remind our veterans, since we did do it kind of a nice summary on what's going on with the new Agent Orange presumptive list. That we remind veterans about that nexus letter. Yes, it's harder, you know, but it doesn't mean that you don't have a case. So, you know, you just have to work a little bit harder to get the evidence you need to substantiate, your claim. What are your thoughts about that, David?
Oh, that's great advice. As you say, Rick, the presumptive list is not the end of the analysis, and there have been many cases, and there are... medical organizations and some individual doctors around the country that among their services they offer, you know, to review and provide nexus letters. Of course, most charge fees. Their fees vary, but they can be very they can make the difference in a case. The key, from my observations, both from handling some cases but also reading the case law, is that success in those cases usually turns on how convincing that nexus letter is from that expert. In other words, it can't be just the bottom line conclusion. It has to provide a convincing rationale supported by medical information, medical and scientific information. I had a case about 15 years ago involving a veteran who had cancer, and the area of his cancer in his throat was close to, but not close enough for the VA's perspective to fall under the respiratory cancer category under the Agent Orange list. So they denied it. But we found an expert who wrote a convincing opinion supported by medical literature, and we ultimately prevailed. It took that opinion and also fighting him on appeal to the Board of Veterans' Appeals. But it certainly is possible. And that also applies to other presumptive lists. You know, we talk about Agent Orange, but then we have the Camp Lejeune toxic water contamination issue. I believe there's 8 diseases and cancers on that list right now for disability compensation. But there's 15 on the presumptive list or on the list for health care. So you see a difference. One has 8, one has 15. It's the same place, Camp Lejeune. Now, the two lists overlap somewhat, but obviously the disability compensation list is much shorter. So my advice would be in those situations, again, if you're not on the presumptive list, talk to some experts and see if it'd be possible to connect it with direct evidence. In other words, a medical opinion. So that's a good topic to keep in mind, and we'll continue to follow these in the future. All these other issues, like what I mentioned earlier, the open air burn pit toxic exposures. So, okay, Rick, over to you.
Well, before we close the show tonight, we'd like to provide with our weekly reminder to veterans and their families about an important VA program called Coaching Into Care. This program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. The Coaching Into Care program offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, the VA's Coaching Into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line. To help, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help, and that number is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Rick. Well, it's about time for us to go for this evening. We would like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Core and Early Law Group, which represents veterans and disability cases nationwide. We'd also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, and we hope you'll tune in next week, same time, same station, which is 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time, here on bbsradio.com, Station 1. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.